African art has been stolen. African sculptures, masks, textiles, and objects of cultural significance have been stolen from the continent, looted, and taken and placed in museums in European countries.
That now we need to fight back to say, give us back our art and our history. Give us back our artifacts and we own it. And they're giving us smoke screens.
Wagwan people, TJMTM is back.
We back.
The boys are back.
Come on.
In due fashion. Come on, let's have it.
On time, on time.
Let's have it, let's have it.
On time.
Let's have a hand clap.
No African time out
here. Let's have a hand clap for us. What's going on,
No people? African time out here, man.
Yo, tell them what we got going on with the schedule.
All I'm saying is that Mandem are on schedule, on time delivery. We're moving like Amazon Prime out here.
Amazon Prime, bro.
Come on.
UPS, DHL. You know about that.
Express shipping to you guys.
You know?
So I think so far as we've expected, we're having little to no complaints on release dates and when the content's coming.
Absolutely not.
So for everyone, we told y'all, you know, in a most humble way.
Hey, shout out to TikTok, bro.
Man. Which episode was it? First episode one.
Yeah,
that was just crazy.
The
engagement, the takes, the nonsense takes, the smart takes. You know, we appreciate all of it. I think these are important conversations to have.
For real, yeah.
But yeah, it's been great dialogue, I would say, for the most part.
Yeah. The nonsensical ones are very minimal, but they're very like... It's like what was unbelievable.
What was the wildest one you would say you heard?
The wildest one I came across. I think somebody I'm not even gonna repeat some of them, but like I don't know. I think they were kind of all centered around the same thing.
Divisive. They didn't get the
without picture. Like substance, you know.
For sure. And I think some people, we might assume, but TikTok had actually shows us in a way that some of y'all don't watch the full clip.
The full clip.
You guys have to understand, this is just a clip out of a whole episode that we're talking about.
Yeah.
And it's... You cannot just make wild, bold takes, conclusions.
Very, very
off
bold.
A 50-second soundbite of a clip of our episode and not ask yourself those whys. Why did I say that? What does that mean? And if you simply go to our full episode, you would actually have a better understanding on what context we're providing. So to everyone on TikTok, that's all I'm saying. These are clips, sound bites from our full episodes.
Yeah.
Before you make wild takes and conclusions, please go and listen to our full episodes. It's out on YouTube, the video, Spotify, all podcast platforms. Like, please listen to our full episode. And then if you have an opinion, sure, you can share that. But I think that was one of my big takeaways from our TikTok audience.
I think even the biggest thing for me is even within the clips, right, was the lack of... Rather, they're listening to respond rather than they're listening to understand.
Yeah.
Or listening at all.
Yes.
Because it would be like people would have the wildest takes and it's like, and by the way, these are so minimal, but it's like, wow, that's not what we said at all. And you didn't listen to
anything.
You
completely, you had your own agenda and then you try to fit it into what we talked about. So,
and you ended up looking like a fool.
Come on.
So let's have it. Let's have it.
Correct yourself, man.
In Costa Rica, we listen.
We listen in Costa Rica. Only way we know.
Nah, but hey, we didn't even introduce ourselves.
Yes.
I'm DJ Anzo. Here with my co-host, the man with the most, Uncle E, come fly with me.
Come on.
And basically the mission of this podcast is to edutain you on all things African, whether that's African food, culture, politics, everyday life, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. The mission of this podcast is to edutain you on that. So we're serious guys. We're fun guys.
Fun guys.
But
and we always honor...
No, on canoe. This canoe, just canoeing down through this thing called life and offering a young African millennial perspective. Yeah. Hey, if you get Emmanuel Archer coming after you, man. Oh boy, I don't want trouble with that.
Look, Archer, if he sees our video, correct yourself.
Yeah.
I don't think we insulted him. We just, so, in a way, highlighted his lack of knowledge.
Yeah. Heat check. As we call it.
Yeah, correct Eat yourself. Come correct.
Speaking of coming correct.
Yes.
Today we're talking about stealing.
Stealing?
Stealing.
Stealing.
Thiefing.
Oh my God, that is an African's top three pet peeve.
Yeah.
We hate thieves.
Oh my days, bro. It doesn't matter what part of Africa you're in.
Stealing, that word stealing is a universal African code of operations.
Yeah.
Is if you steal.
Some of the most ruthless forms of punishments I've ever seen were done to thieves.
I agreed.
Same from the here. Time I was a kid and it made me not ever want to steal. You know, like
thieves back. We quickly learned. From seeing physical harm on thieves that were caught.
Yeah.
For us in Gambia, if you made it to the police station, you were lucky.
You're lucky, yeah.
And I'm sure this is almost universal across the police. When if you steal in Africa, you're lucky if police come and find you.
Mob justice is crazy out there.
Big time.
In my neighborhood, I think they caught a thief. They put him in a tire and then they
burned him. Wow. I've heard that's what they do in a lot of African countries.
Yeah, I said, yo. One time I was coming out of the barbershop with my pops and I see this mob running by. Somebody fires a gun in the air. Chasing a thief.
Dang.
I say, brother, you better start running before they kill you.
Bro, so I don't know how it was like for you guys. In Wolof, thief means sacha. So imagine if like it's a quiet neighborhood, if it's a lunchtime, everyone's quiet. If you hear anyone scream, sacha, 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 sacha.
Mm.
Or, you know, a term say, sacha embo, which means there's a thief, there's a thief. Bro, the whole neighborhood comes out.
Yeah.
Like you said, mob justice. Everyone will stop what they're doing and just running to go to find. And better yet, if they catch him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah?
Nah, the worst thing as a thief is getting caught back home because.
You're done out here. You're done out here.
That's really when police are your friend. It's if they catch you.
For sure.
Because then they'll take it into the hands of the law. But, oof.
Anyway, I don't think that's the stealing.
We're not talking about those kinds of thieves. But we're just saying, thieves. We're talking about a different kind of thieves.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, the European thieves.
Or the greatest thieves of all time.
The greatest pilferers of all time.
Looters.
Looters. Britain, France, Belgium.
Those are all-stars. The all-stars.
All-stars.
Mm-hmm.
They're like LeBron and Mike.
Wow.
Like LeBron and MJ.
Who's MJ, France or Britain, when it comes to imperialism, looting, colonialism?
Gotta be Britain, bro.
Britain is who? Who's
they're Bron. Or they're MJ.
You think Britain's MJ?
Yeah.
And France is LeBron?
Yeah.
I disagree with you.
What?
I think France is Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have LeBron is Britain.
So you think they France disguises themselves.
Yes, because France still operates.
Oh, yeah.
The impact of France is still more prevalent.
Let's provide some context and background.
Anyway, yes.
Because it's Black History Month. We need to inform.
Of course.
Long story short, from the pre-colonial times, from imperial times, all the way through, could we even call it now?
Present day.
Present day.
21st century.
African art. Has been stolen. African sculptures, masks, textiles, and objects of cultural significance have been stolen from the continent, looted, and taken and placed in museums in European countries across Europe, predominantly Britain, France,
those colonizers.
And some of that work has made its way over to America, right? So, by the way, shout out to Killmonger for stealing that.
Yes.
But let's dissect that because these are objects that were very clearly taken, right?
Precious. Placed
very precious to those two, the
those kingdoms cultures that they were taken from.
Placed in Europe. And now there's almost an attitude of like, we don't want to give them back because maybe you guys don't know how to take care of them. Or that was too long ago. They belong to us now. Like, you know what I'm saying? What say you about that? Like, what do you think about?
Well, first of all, as Shaq said, you can't fool us. We're familiar with your game. We're very familiar with your game.
Very familiar.
And as a West African coming from a country where the transatlantic slave trade, colonialism, all of that, we were directly impacted. Mm-hmm. It is absolutely integral for us to get any historical artifacts, art, back from these colonizers. Mm. Because essentially what has happened is we have not had the full access to our history, our rich history of kingdoms, cultures, through these precious, beautiful artifacts that imagine if I was growing up, I could go to the museum and see 200-300 years ago, ingenuity.
Not even in the museum, within your own family.
Within my own home, mm-hmm. saying, hey, 300-400 years ago, this is the craftsmanship we had, for example. Mm. This is what we're doing. It actually will give you context of us understanding directly our history. And we don't have that. That is in some museum in London, or the Smithsonian National Museum in Washington, D.C., or some museum in Paris.
The Louvre or something.
You know? Yeah. So it's a whole point of when people talk about, oh, like Africans don't know their history in a way. It is so true. This is kind of the direct correlation where generations now, us millennials, we can't just go and walk in our own countries to a museum and see some of the most precious artifacts that we had, that our kingdoms have, that give us history of our land, because it's in white man's land.
Yeah.
So it's extremely upsetting and out of pocket as AF, out of pocket AF. That's my conclusion to that.
I think to give sort of like an analogy to that, imagine if we just... And then went to the UK and we said, hey, King Arthur's sword is coming back to Gambia, right? And then we went and we grabbed Queen Elizabeth's, like,
crown. Yeah, said, exactly.
Sorry, this is ours now, right? Yeah, imagine, like, how insane that sort of concept is to...
Let's put the reverse.
To the outsider, you know?
This is... But that's what happened.
Exactly what happened.
Imagine us, Anzo. Mm. We were... Let's play the role of... the colonizer, right? Anzo and I were sent by our king in West Africa to say, hey, go on an expedition.
Right.
To try and see what resources are in this foreign land that we call London. Mm-hmm. So I assemble 4,000 strong guys, strong men like us. And mind you, we just had invented the machine gun. So now we can plow down and take... kill thousands in a matter of maybe one day. Mm-hmm. So those kingdoms in London, those areas in London that had the most rich resources, we can now get access to penetrate that because now we have the weapon of mass destruction.
Yeah.
So here we are. We sail, we go in. There is our target, London. We have our Maxim guns. We have all the firepower and machinery. They don't have that. Guess what? Hey, King of England or London, surrender to us. Give us all your resources or else.
Yeah.
King says, man, F you. This is our country. This is our land. What do you mean? This is our own resources.
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. Machine gun, Maxim gun, deployed.
Wipe them out.
Wipe them out.
Yeah.
Now we don't all right.
have Prince Harry and
here's
Prince
Harry. Hello, Anzo. This is us, me and Anzo, walking to the palace,
burning
everything down. Oh my God, look at these precious crowns. Look at these precious jewels that they have.
Yeah.
Oh my God, so rich. Look at all of this. I have an idea, Anzo.
Yeah.
How about we just take this back as our spoils of war, compensation for any losses we had for our men or the expenses of coming here and killing all of these people, and now taking their natural resources. That's a nice art. That's a nice crown. Yeah. Let's take it back.
We deserve it.
We deserve it.
We deserve
it. You know what? Here, take a picture of us in the palace standing next to all of these nice crowns and jewels.
Yeah.
I'm sure 200 years ago, that will be in a lot of museums.
Oh, yeah. Guaranteed. And I think
that's how our art was stolen.
That's exactly how it was stolen. And sort of the preface to that, right, was they sent out missionaries and explorers, right? And they said, hey, this is the word of the Lord. Like, this is a beautiful side of life. Like, this is a religion for all. Mm-hmm. This is a religion for you and me. Come to my side.
Change
your name. Don't believe in whatever beliefs you've had before. It's all demonic.
That's primitive.
It's primitive. It's demonic. It's not right. Right.
It's not civilized.
And allow our explorers to just explore everything, but don't mind the troops. They're just
don't mind those guys. They just
keep him safe from the leopards and the lions.
I heard you had diamonds.
Yeah, where's
you
the
had minefields? You know, we're interested. I'm sure the Lord would like to know where the diamonds are.
You guys have gold.
You have a gold?
Oh.
There's a whole coast of gold.
Gold, okay.
Oh wow, yeah. We definitely need to go and spread the word of the Lord over there.
And we have this guy, his name is King Leopold. Awesome guy.
Oh wow.
Just allow him to bring his troops in. They're just gonna oversee everything. This is completely diplomatic, and you know, we wanna maintain our political relations. Oh, psych, we have a Maxim gun. You guys belong to us now. You know what I'm saying? Like,
literally, it's not a laughing matter, but yes, this is what it was.
Exactly. And prior to that, they said, hey, Ibrahima, you're from Belgium. I'm from the UK. Chris is from France. Let's all sit at a table and decide who gets what piece of this.
What are we going to call it? Let's call it the Scramble for Africa.
The Scramble for Africa, because all these people are savages.
Nah, I want this land. They're savages. Here, Congo, they have the Congo River going through that. Let me just take hold of Congo.
Oh, you got it?
Yeah. Okay. I got Congo.
I'll take Uganda, Kenya, Tanzania, that little region.
Wait, hold up there, yeah, buddy. If you take that, then I need to make sure that West Africa belongs to me.
Well, we can't give you the whole of the region.
Okay, fine. Maybe I'll give you about 20% of the region, but I want Senegal, I want Guinea, I want Mali, I want Niger, because I feel like it. And yeah, these guys, I'm going to civilize them.
Yeah. So, guys,
Scramble for Africa, 1884, I think.
Was it 1884?
Around, it was late 19th century, 84, around that area.
Something like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
A conference to...
The Berlin Conference.
The Berlin Conference.
Was it Berlin? No.
I don't... Yeah, it could be Berlin Conference. I don't know, but I just know the term was called the Scramble for Africa. And for those who don't know, just Google Scramble for Africa or the Berlin Conference. Ivan will check. And just see how... what you see now in the map of Africa of 54 nations now, I believe. Mm-hmm. Basically, this was in 1884-ish, around that time frame, where these Europeans literally had a meeting and had a party drawing lines, saying, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this. And then as you see the current map of current Africa comes from that. Imagine the audacity of the white man. But they executed it. Because, you know, again, too, they knew... We can have an episode talking about African leaders. Because...
Right. That's another one we can get.
That's how they got us.
Yeah.
It's those weak men, those greedy men, which is just the same. Because in a way, yes... force in terms of military action was for African leaders or kingdoms that refused to cooperate with the colonizers. Then they deployed the Maxim gun and their troops to, eradicate all their soldiers. And that was option B. But option A was simple. They knew that the African leader is a greedy man. Give him some small wealth. Yeah. And convince him that, let's sign this treaty. I'm going to explore your land, teach the word of God, be a missionary.
And I'll give you all this.
And I'll give you all of this.
Yeah.
those three,
which was minimal,
and they signed it, and then they came in and just looted all the natural resources in West Africa. Last point I have, the capital cities, my dad used to always tell me this, you would look at most capital cities in West Africa were situated because they basically got all the resources inland and created train tracks to take all of our natural resources to the coast and, you know, off to Britain.
So even
the geography of where West African cities are is built around colonialism, where our natural resources were extracted inland and via trade. Mostly you will see train tracks going towards the coast.
Yeah. It was very strategic, yeah.
So in a way, a lot of our cities were literally, the layout of our cities is as a result of imperialism, colonialism. So it's mad.
Like that saying goes, all skin folk.
Anyway, ain't this skin makes folk. Me hot again.
You know what I'm saying?
It's just really upsetting, but sorry, go ahead.
No, all skin folk ain't kin folk. You know how that saying goes. But let's provide some more context to this looting of the continents.
Of our art, yes.
2018 report commissioned by? The academics Benedict Savoy and Felvine Sarr recommended African artists or African artifacts to be returned. Around 90 to 95% of African cultural heritage is held overseas.
Wait, what?
Around 90 to 95% of African cultural heritage is held overseas. Now, let's also be objective, because a lot of our heritage is oral, right? But when they say that, they mean physically, like physical heritage is held overseas.
But do you see that is, it kind of proves the point.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to have colonial mindset instilled upon Africans and it transfers generations, you need to remove any objects that show power that we've had, greatness, innovations.
Oh yeah.
As I mentioned, ingenuity that we had. You need to physically remove those reminders of how powerful we were.
Mm-hmm.
This is a deliberate effort. I'm not surprised.
No.
I'm not surprised that the best artwork, bronzes, scriptures we have, anything that was documented, it was taken away. The manuscripts, if you go to Timbuktu, Mali, manuscripts are still being searched, and people, if you go to Mali, will tell you, because when the French came, the first thing they asked for is where's the manuscripts?
Yeah.
You can't quote unquote civilize, colonize people if they have all that available at them to know what their history is.
Yeah. And that's why those manuscripts, the ones that still do exist there, are so secretive.
It's secretive.
Because we have to protect that, right? I think, okay, there was some discourse going on in our comments in TikTok regarding sort of African Americans feeling like Africans sold them off, right? and stuff around sort of that sentiment, right? And I want to address that, actually. I think one thing that on both sides we don't understand is that was a deliberate effort, right? So you take the African out of Africa and you put him in a foreign land, you strip him of his heritage, you strip him of all he knows, you strip him of his name, his culture, right? The ones back in Africa, you colonize them, you strip them of their heritage, you take all that.
Anything they had, looted, yeah,
right? And then you instill upon them a way of life that's not theirs.
That is built upon them being the supreme tier one
group of people. And the Africans being inferior.
Yes,
right?
Second class.
Now we're in a place where we have information and this is available to us, right? But you create a division between them, right? So the divide and conquer mentality. Everything has been divided and now thus we have been conquered, right? It really bothers me that, like, on both sides, we don't realize that. Two, we don't understand that, like, by us pitting ourselves against each other, we're only just furthering their mission.
It's a multiplier effect of their
initial mission.
It's a reinforcing loop.
And it's like, guys, we need to understand that we are one and the same, right? We're both victims of white supremacy. We're both victims of a long line of unfortunate events happening against us. But like, now is the time to set that, rekindle that foundation and really set forth our generations to come up for success, you know? And that, I think that's one thing that you asked me what bothered me about the comments.
Yeah.
That was one thing that bothered me.
It was kind of disappointing to see someone seeing the bigger picture.
Yeah, exactly. The bigger picture, which is like, bro, you and I, right? We're in a foreign land, right? But our dollar is almost dedicated to the black community, right?
100%.
You go to the black barber.
Yeah.
I have a black doctor. We go to black establishments.
Pretty much. We support
black establishments. We support black businesses. Like, yes. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Guys, let's wake up and understand that this is bigger than just oppression Olympics, essentially. You know,
it's not oppression Olympics. It's not who suffered the most.
The most, right?
And I really hope, if you think this notion, as you mentioned, that Africans sold Africans as well to slaves, you are directly playing into what the white man, the colonialists, intended to happen. Like, that is what they wanted you to say. If you think the African man or the king deliberately sold his own people to go to a foreign land and to be used as a commodity to make the white man richer, and knowing all of that, that's what they did, it's very shallow.
Yeah.
Do your research. Understand what divide and conquer means, and understand the tactics of manipulation that the colonialists used, the Europeans used, in slowly dismantling African kingdoms into either forcing you to, by force, give me these people that I'll use as slaves, or I'm going to go to your enemy or another kingdom, give them weapons to kill you so that they will give me those prisoners as slaves.
And that's
not
to say, and that's not to say that there weren't not as like leaders.
But we know this. This is nothing common.
And precisely. And I think like that's really what I want to harp on with my point of this isn't the oppression Olympics.
It's not.
Bro, we everyone understands each other's. At least you and I understand both sides of the struggle, right? We've lived as a black man in America. We've lived as a black man in Africa, and we understand and empathize and fully want to highlight the struggles on both sides. But to sit there and then weaponize a struggle in order to not collaborate or not to build with your brother, that to me is crazy. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, guys, that's
think deeper. One thing that think deeper. Really, stop. Don't fall into certain
Let's
narratives.
Critically think.
Critically think. Ask yourself five whys. Yeah, Africans, they say that they were selling, you know, slaves to the white man. I said, just ask yourself five whys. And you really understand that there was a certain level of manipulation that happened.
Yeah.
The tactics that these use that is still current, that is making you even believe that was actually how it happened. The history is there for the taking. Go and learn.
Yeah.
So that's all.
Conversely, too, though, let me say this last point.
We're not talking about art anymore.
Yeah. Conversely.
It's all part of it.
Africans.
Yes.
Do better, too. You understand?
Bruh.
Bro, the amount of Africans who sort of look down upon African Americans, the amount of Africans who don't do their research, the ones who kiss the white man's ass, if I catch you.
What does Uber say? How many lashes?
We need to do better as Africans, bro, because there's a lot of.
We've seen it too many times.
Yeah. Even when we're back home. The amount of ass kissing towards the white man, and then you see an African American brother come in, and it's like.
It's ignorance.
You know
it's
what I'm
ignorance.
Saying? Africans do better.
It's ignorance.
Do better.
But again, like I said, I know the conversation starting is us talking about art, but it's really the art that. Stealing art and looting, it's almost in a way symbolic of what has happened to our Africanness, our history, our culture, our traditions, the robbery that has happened, where even our physical artifacts, physical references of how great we were, it was taken away. And it's part of this big chain of colonial mindset that happened abroad and at home that is still happening, that now we need to fight back to say, give us back our art and our history. Give us back our artifacts and we own it. And they're giving us smoke screens. How can the U.S. Smithsonian National Museum, how can U.S. of A. have African Benin bronzes kept at the Smithsonian National Museum?
That's wild.
That is absolutely wild.
Yeah.
Who gave it to them?
Yeah.
Was it gifted from Nigeria?
No, certainly wasn't.
Was it gifted from Benin? Where did it come from?
Yeah.
So puts you perspective. If America were able to get first dibs on the precious artifacts and art that was stolen from Africa, before even those actual countries where those kingdoms that were destroyed get it back, that tells you everything.
Precisely.
It's mad.
It's really mad out here. Like, I think, was it Queen Victoria that had the biggest diamond ever found?
Yes, I think it was stolen from India.
Was it India? Something.
Yes, yeah. The crown. Even Queen Elizabeth's juju, I think from his crown, one of the rubies or... Anyway.
Something like that. It doesn't fucking matter. Oh, excuse my French. But let's do better.
Just do better, man.
So let me ask you this. How can we, as African immigrants in the U.S., deepen our understanding and appreciation of African-American history and heritage? It's Black History Month.
How can we deepen it?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, do you want to? You first need to understand and ask yourself question. Like, do I want to learn African-American history? And there's only one question for that, one answer for that. It has to be a yes. And how can you do it? Bro, as we mentioned, go and talk to actual African Americans.
Yeah.
And ask them, hey, if you're from Africa, go and talk to them and tell them, I'm trying to learn about not only the history, but you have to understand how America, like, how America is deemed great. Bro, it's from the backbone of African Americans, some from a engineering science field to the healthcare field to like all industries. Like, you will find the greatest pioneers in all of these industries. You will find African Americans in there. Like, for me as an engineer, bro, I would not have started kickstarting my career if six engineers who went to Purdue didn't decide to form what is now called the National Society of Black Engineers.
Shout out NSBE.
That gave you, even me as the African student, an opportunity to go to a conference and meet companies and interviews and get an internship.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for what those men did, there would be no benefit. So all of these Africans here, we know we have all these lawyer, doctor, engineers that our parents wanted us to be.
Yeah.
And we came here to US to achieve that. But really, you have to understand the world, like, if it wasn't for African Americans, what they established, their greatness on their achievements in each of these fields, those opportunities would not be presented to us.
Yeah.
So you owe it to them to actually go and learn their history.
You do.
It is your responsibility.
You do.
So that's what I got to say. Start, go and talk to them and do your own research.
Yeah. I think I want to add on to that. For me, number one, drop the superiority complex, right?
For sure.
That one needs to see itself out the window. Two, in line with the history, understand how our histories tie together, right? Study like the movement of Pan-Africanism.
Yes.
See how Kwame Nkrumah came here to study. Mugabe, although he's controversial, came here to study. These are all people that had ties to
Garvey
America,
movement,
right?
Boy, and, you know.
Nani from Jamaica. Garvey.
Marcus Garvey.
Marcus Garvey.
That's the Garvey first Pan-African movement
you see what
in
I'm
the
saying?
1920s.
Study the relativity of that. Study why that matters. Study the civil rights movement, what that did for us.
Jim Crow, segregation.
You know, abolitionists, study all that. Like, these are all things that are available to you. And once you really get a rich understanding of it, you'll understand why it's extremely imperative that this unity has to continue. You see what I'm saying?
I agree. And like, to all Africans, fellow Africans, if I always say here, one of the books that I read that did one of the greatest profound impacts for me in actually understanding perspective on America, especially as a black man, I always say read the autobiography of Malcolm X.
Okay, yeah. That is a fire book.
That book, it changed. It was like changed so much for me in terms of understanding how I not only need to navigate as a black man in America, but in the world.
Yeah. Man, Malcolm X, one of my heroes, bro.
Yesterday was his 58th anniversary.
The 21st.
Yes. Yeah. So, like I said, Malcolm X for me, he's my, like, from a historical, someone you see as a mentor, role model in history, you know, he's up there. Like,
He's also gone through it all. He's gone through the dark sides. He's gone through.
And he shows you.
He's not apologetic about who he is.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
How we navigate our current space and the effects of white supremacy and whether you know it or not, how it affects you. You need to be able to identify it. And for me, I know there are so many great people who wrote books and show it.
Yeah.
But for me, that's one of the big books of understanding in America, how you identify the foxes. I'm there.
But let's end this with a positive note, yeah?
Bring back our art, Azo. Tell this colony, bring back our art. We want our art back, bro.
And in line with that, some countries and museum boards have started the repatriation of these artifacts.
Okay.
The Smithsonian is one of them that has repatriated some of them.
African Union too, they're creating a museum.
They're creating a museum.
Yes.
There are plans to build a $57 million Great Museum of Africa by 2023. In Algeria. Mm. It's 2023.
Man, give them two more years.
Two. That is ambitious, bro.
2023, more like 26, bro.
You know, these guys need to get serious. We're going to see 2026 World Cup before we see that.
But it's in the works. Let's just say
it's in the works.
Yeah.
There are efforts to repatriate, obviously, a lot of that. Okay. Where those works, and it's a slow effort, but it's a start nonetheless.
It's a gateway to understanding the effects of colonialism and imperialism.
Yeah.
Is looking at our art that Anzo's saying about 90% plus.
Mm.
It's not in Africa. It's in Oyibo mainland.
That is a mad thing.
So
let's have it. Let's have it.
Bring it back.
Come on. Lastly, we ended with some quotes from ChatGPT.
What does ChatGPT have for us this week? Also, I think you have the good ChatGPT African man voice.
Okay, let's see about this one. Okay, this one is about stealing.
Stealing, because that's the whole topic. We don't like thief here.
A thief may think he's gotten away with it, but his conscience will be forever his judge. Hey! Are you sure you want to steal?
Are you sure?
I give you another one.
One more.
He who steals a goat today will steal a cow tomorrow, and will end up stealing a whole village.
Hey!
Are you crazy? Are you mad to steal a whole village? No,
a whole village.
In the village.
Cue Nigerian Nollywood music.
You know what I mean? Let's give one more just for that.
One more, guys.
Okay. A thief may gain material things, but he loses his dignity and respect in the eyes of society. If that doesn't, that doesn't set you straight and you're still thiefing.
The African parents' worst nightmare.
Yeah. The flogging you will receive.
Losing dignity and embarrassment.
Mm?
Huh? Why will others stick?
Oh, I will other people.
You have embarrassed us in front of everyone.
You are disgraced to this. You know, you have already done tattoos. You have done piercings.
What is that that
what
you
have
there?
Tattoo on
you
your
don't have major here. You should be a dinner man. You should go work for McDonald's.
You will end up in McDonald's. It's crazy, bro. But Chad is
yo,
on the road,
Chad GPT
bro.
Is on fire, guys. Chad, let us know what you think, bro. Chad out here giving us the gems. You get me?
Gems, bro.
Shit.
Shout out to AI. But yeah, man, it's been another episode. Thank y'all so much for joining you. This was episode 3.
Yes.
You see me and Uncle E, we out here giving you guys heat, continuing with it. Please don't forget to like, subscribe, comment. Please comment. If you haven't gone to our TikTok, go see our TikTok. And then come comment on the YouTube and then comment on Instagram.
Yeah.
And then keep it going. Right? Comment, like, subscribe. Share it with your friends, your family, your coworkers, your auntie, your uncle, your dentist, everyone. We would thank you.
Yes, sir.
We out.
All right. Peace
and love. Yep.